Welcome to the Humans Under Grace Bible Study Podcast. We're getting ready to have an old-fashioned line-on-line, precept-on-precept study of God's Word to search out those deeper truths and gain a greater understanding of the Bible. We would love for you to join us today as we dig in and learn what it is God would truly have us to know from the letter that He wrote to us. Hello there, and God bless you. Welcome into the study today. We're going to be picking it back up in Matthew chapter 24, verse 32. Now, in our last study, Christ gave us the seven seals in the book of Revelation, told us exactly how it was going to go down in the end times, what to look for, and what to be prepared for. Now, as we pick it up in verse 32, we're going to get into the parable of the fig tree, and it's very important that you understand this. So we ask for clarity and understanding from our Father, in Jesus' name. Matthew 24, verse 32. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. He didn't say, now think about it for a little bit, or maybe whenever you get a chance to get around to it. He said, now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. As we discussed in the last study, when we were in the book of Daniel, that you see a fig tree, you don't plant a seed. You set a shoot out. And whenever you set that shoot out, whenever the spring is coming around, it starts to bud, and those leaves start sprouting on it. Now, that time would come about in 1948 when Israel became once again a nation, and it was accepted as a nation. That was that shoot being set out. Verse 33, so likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near even at the doors. I mean, it's not here yet. But the season is here. It's coming. It's right there. Verse 34. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Now many people get confused over this verse and think that he's talking to the generation that is in front of him at this point right then. The disciples, the apostles. But he's speaking of this fig tree generation. All these things that was spoken of in the last study will come to pass during that generation of the fig tree, which is the generation that is alive today. Verse 35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Now, before we move on, let's talk on this fig tree generation a little bit more, because there is more said here, or there is more to it than was actually said here. We're going to move over to Jeremiah chapter 24. And one thing about figs are used a lot in God's Word, all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 7. That's the first time we hear anything about a fig. And what exactly was it that was mentioned there? That's when Adam and Eve had messed with the wicked fruit. Okay, they allowed Satan to trick them. Allowed Satan to plant that seed and that conception come about. And then they knew that they were naked, so they sowed those fig leaves around them. That is the very beginning of the fig tree, of the parable of the fig. Now, how can I say that? Jeremiah chapter 24, verse 1. The Lord showed me, and behold, two baskets of figs were set before the temple of the Lord, after that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had carried away captive Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and the princes of Judah, with the carpenters and smiths from Jerusalem, and had brought them to Babylon. Verse 2. One basket had very good figs, even like the figs that are first ripe. Now, what are the first ripe? That's the first fruits. That's those that are set aside and given unto God, that are offered to God. Okay? So that would be, you can look at that as the elect, or those who are chosen by God. Continuing on. And the other basket had very naughty figs, or very wicked figs, which could not be eaten, they were so bad. Now this should kind of perk your ears back to Matthew chapter 13, where Christ gave us the parable of the sower. And he said that the field was the world, and the good man that sowed the good seed was the Father. But then in the night, the wicked man, which was Satan, came and sowed his seed, which is why I say it's so important to remember Genesis chapter 3, verse 7, when studying the parable of the fig tree, that at that point you had the good seed and the bad seed sown, and they covered that with the fig leaf. Verse 3, then said the Lord unto me, what seest thou, Jeremiah? And I said, figs. The good figs are very good. The evil, very evil, that cannot be eaten, they are so evil. Now in the Hebrew, this word evil is ra'ah, re'ah, and it means evil as far as moral depravity. They are spiritually wicked. Just as Christ would line out the Pharisees and say, you are of your father the devil, and his evil deeds is what you will do. That's what Jeremiah is being told here, and what he's seeing. Verse 4, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, like these good figs, so will I acknowledge, or own, them that are carried away captive of Judah, whom I have sent out of this place into the land of the Chaldeans for their good. You see, God scattered the tribes to protect them. And he's got them scattered all around the world. Many people look at the country of Israel today as being Israel. But that's only a small remnant of what Israel was. You see, that's only two tribes, Benjamin and Judah. Now, there were 10 northern tribes that were taken captive before the Babylonians came in. They were taken captive by the Assyrians, and they were migrated north and then came over the Caucasus Mountains into Europe and North America and Canada and have spread abroad all over the world. That's why when God made the promise to Abraham saying that your seed will be more numerous than the stars of the sky and the sands of the sea, that has come to pass. It's innumerable how many of Israel is actually in the world today because they're scattered. Verse 6, for I will set mine eyes upon them for good, and I will bring them again to this land, and I will build them and not pull them down, and I will plant them and not pluck them up. Now Jeremiah's commission, we read of in Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. The reason why I'm pointing this out is because it's very similar to this. And his commission from God says this, verse 9, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 9. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, that being Jeremiah's mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down. What's he destroying and throwing down? Wicked doctrine, the traditions of man. You see, this day, truth needs to be taught to root out all these traditions, all these whitewashed sepulchers that are out here that are not doing anything but just itching the ears, telling folks what they want to hear instead of what they need to hear. To build and to plant. What is that? That means to restore. You pull down the traditions of man and you replace it with truth. And through the truth and through the wisdom and knowledge of God, one can be more prepared as to what's coming and not become an apostate, but stand strong for God. Verse 7, and I will give them an heart to know me, that I am the Lord. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart. Verse 8. Now we get into these evil figs. And as the evil figs, which cannot be eaten, they are so evil. You don't want any of their doctrine. Their doctrine leads to spiritual death. Surely thus saith the Lord, so will I give Zedekiah the king of Judah and his princes, and the residue of Jerusalem that remain in this land, and them that dwell in the land of Egypt. And I will deliver them to be removed into all kingdoms of the earth for their hurt, to be a reproach and a proverb, and taunt and a curse in all places whither I shall drive them. And I will send the sword. Now what is the sword? It's the truth. The sword of the Lord is his tongue, as we read of, and it's a double-edged sword that cuts both ways. the famine. Amos chapter 8, verse 11 says, "The famine of the end times is not for hunger of bread or thirst of water, but for the hearing the true word of God. And the pestilence among them, till they be consumed from off the land, I give unto them and to their fathers." So what's going to happen is these wicked figs are going to be doing, you know, their thing. They're going to be worshiping the Antichrist, thinking that they're doing what's right. And, oh, man, they're doing the will of their father. And God's going to send the elect to be delivered up, to have that Holy Spirit speak through them in that cloven tongue as the sword, and come through and cut that wickedness out, to tear it down, and to build up those who are around that might hear it and might understand the testimony and might come back from being that apostate. All right, now, what of these two baskets of figs, the evil figs and the wicked figs? If we go to Ezra chapter 8, verse 15, and I know this is another study where we're jumping around a lot, but it's important that you know this. Ezra chapter 8, verse 15. Ezra has left from Babylon, and he's headed to the temple, and he is about to begin the priestly positions again. He's about to set up the priest and everything for the temple. And as he's leaving, we get to verse 15. He's done a little roll check and seen who's all around. Ezra chapter 8, verse 15. "And I gathered them together to the river that runneth to Ahava. And there abode we in tents 3 days. And I viewed the people and the priest, and found there none of the sons of Levi." Well, now, wait a second. He viewed the people and the priests. Well, Levites are the only priests. You have to be a Levite to be a priest. And he said, there's none of the sons of Levi. So what does he have here? He has the Nethinim. That's those who are given to service. 1 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 55 lets us know that the Kenites had worked their way to being scribes. Now, what are the Kenites? It's that wicked fig, that wicked basket of figs, that wicked seed. Verse 17, "And I sent them with commandment unto Edo, the chief of the place, Cassaphiah, and I told them what they should say unto Ido and to his brethren, the Nethinims, those given to service, and the place Cassaphiah, that they should bring unto us ministers from the house of our God." Now, what did he do there? He did not send a Levite to go get Levites. He sent Nethinims, those given to service, those Kenites, to go get Levites. And what the whole situation here is the Levites were a little too comfortable in Babylon. They didn't want to leave their comfort zone and come back into Jerusalem and have to do some work. But these Kenites sure were happy to do it. And it started allowing, at this time, those bad figs to root in, whereby by the time of Christ, one of these bad figs would be Caiaphas, that chief priest that caused that crucifixion, bring into pass the first part of Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, that his seed should bruise the seed of the woman's heel, being Christ. So there's where you find this fig tree generation. And if you look in Israel today, you see a mixed basket of figs. Mixed religions that are always fighting night and day. Now, let's go back to Matthew chapter 24 and verse 37. "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." As the days of Noah were. All right, well, here's this example. Verse 38, "For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark." Now, why did I say they? Why did I emphasize that? That they is spoken of in Jude chapter 1, verse 6. Jude only has one chapter. It's a little bitty book right before Revelation. And verse 6 says, "And the angels which kept not their first estate but left their own habitation. They weren't born of woman. They didn't follow God's plan and do God's will. They just decided to leave heaven and come down and impregnate woman. He hath reserved an everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. This they is the angels. Why would Paul say that you need to keep your head covered with Christ for the angels? It's because in these end times, it's going to be just as it was before the flood of Noah, where these fallen angels will be eating and drinking and giving in marriage and basically leading everybody they can. It's going to be Satan's minions. It's that locust army leading everybody they can to spiritually corrupt themselves into Satan's hand. Verse 39, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, why would they know not? They thought Noah was crazy. He was building an ark. You know, there's a flood coming. It's a flood of lies from Satan. Our ark is this word. And if you look around the world today, those who really study deep into this word, building upon this ark, those of us who are trying to secure it in our minds and have these seals ready to go, are considered crazy. Oh, that's just superstition. Oh, come on now. They said the end of the world's coming for every generation, and it hadn't come yet. And then all of a sudden, Antichrist is going to show up, and they're going to be like, oh my goodness, look at this. And then comes Christ. Verse 40. Then shall two be in the field. The one shall be taken, and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. The one shall be taken, and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Many people take verse 40 and 41 and twist it around to be a false doctrine. You have to remember, Christ is telling them how it's going to be before I come. Not when I come, before I come. Matthew chapter 13, what is the field? The field is the world. What is our job in the world? We're supposed to be planting seeds. We're supposed to be cultivating. We're supposed to be spreading the word. If two are in the field and one's taken and one's left, that one that's left in the field is still working. That means that there's work still to be done. There's seed still to be sown. This word is still needing to be taught. And if that one's taken, he left a little early. He knocked off of work a little too soon. He loaded up on the wrong wagon. And two women grinding at the mill. At the mill is where you take that harvest, that grain, and you prepare it to go into bread, to make bread. It's the ingredients, therefore. And what is bread? Bread is the bread of life. And if one woman is taken from the grinding mill and the other is left, that means she's still grinding. She's still working. She's still preparing that truth. She's still getting ready. She's still putting it out there. And this other one just kind of drug up a little early. Jumped on the wrong wagon. Now, Jeremiah chapter 14, verse 18 has a little to say about this also. I'm going to just flip over there right quick and read it. Jeremiah 14, 18. And it says, if I go forth into the field, then behold, the slain with the sword. Now, how is that? It's because when he's out in the world, those who are slain by the sword means they have fallen for the deception. And when the truth comes, it tears them apart. And if I enter into the city, well, the city would be where the mill is. Then behold, them that are sick with famine. Why are they sick with famine? Because a whole lot of people jumped on the wrong wagon, and they're not prepping the ingredients for the bread anymore. They're not grinding at the mill anymore. They're not doing the Lord's will. They've jumped on this other boat, and they're getting ready to fly out of here. Yea, both the prophet and the priest go about into a land that they do not know. It just means that they're walking around and they're teaching and they really don't know what they're talking about. That being the famine of the end times for the truth of God. All right, back in Matthew 24, verse 43. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, or at what time the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Why would you think that he wasn't, that why would they be caught by such a surprise? Because they think he's already here. They think the Son of Man is standing in front of them, and it's the Antichrist, and all of a sudden, like a thief in the night, Christ shows up completely unexpected. Verse 45, Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Now this meat in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, Paul tells us that you have milk and meat. And the milk you give to young children. Now that's not necessarily an age, but children of the word. The milk is that salvation message. And you've got to issue out the milk so that you get those younglings to grow. And then once they start getting more mature, then you can give them the meat in the due season, the deeper truths, those hard-hitting things that really just make the word come together and really grow someone in wisdom and in their spirit. Verse 46, blessed is the servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find doing so. Shall find doing what? Shall find studying. Shall find getting ready. Giving that meat out. Studying to show yourself approved. Verse 47, verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. Ezekiel chapter 44, verse 20, lets us know that in the millennium, the Zadok, those who are given that meat in due season, those who are studying and are not deceived by this Antichrist, in the millennium, they will be teachers with Christ for 1,000 years. It says they will reign as priests as Christ, with Christ, as priests with Christ for 1,000 years in the book of Revelation. And Ezekiel chapter 44 is a little more specific, saying that those who did not overcome, the Zadok can teach them during that millennium, and hopefully when Satan is loosed that short while after that, then they will have enough discipline not to follow him, not to fall for his tricks at that point. Now, if that's a little confusing or a little deep, there's a study over the millennium. It will go into greater detail on that. Verse 48. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming. Oh, he's not coming. I can kind of fool around a little bit. And shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken. That means he's just going to kind of slack up a little bit. He might itch little ears, you know, just kind of rattle, not necessarily get around the truth. Kind of just get a little, as it says in Deuteronomy 32, become as Jeshurun, which is just kind of fat, dumb, and happy. Verse 50, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and an hour when he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, what that's meaning is he started off leading good, and then all of a sudden he thought, I've got a while. It's no big deal. I'm going to go out here and fiddle around with this other doctrine. I'm going to go out here and kind of play the harlot a little bit because, you know, he's not coming back yet. And he gets caught red-handed playing the harlot. All right, chapter 25, and verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. All right, now what are these lamps? Lamps, they hold the oil that when you light the wick, it produces light. That oil being representative of the Spirit of God or the truth. If you remember, whenever we talked about the two witnesses, they are called the sons of oil because they flow that Spirit out to the elect to strengthen and encourage during that time of that hour of temptation. And why is that important? Verse 2, and five of them were wise, and five were foolish. You kind of got a mixed bag here again. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. They didn't prepare with the truth. They might have just stayed in the milk a little bit. They didn't know the seals of the seven seals. They didn't understand that Antichrist comes first and the true Christ comes later. And maybe they listened a little bit too much to the doctrine of man and believed man a little too much. Verse 4, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. They study. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says, study to show thyself approved, a workman, needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. They were prepared. Verse 5, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there came a cry, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. If you're not prepared, the Antichrist will deceive you. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. What do you do when you trim your lamp? You're trimming the wick to make that light brighter, make it more pure. Those who were prepared, they're going to have a pure light. Verse 8, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. Well, what happened? They had been deceived. They weren't careful. They weren't prepared. Verse 9, but the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And look, you can't buy knowledge. You either have it or you don't. You got to study it. You got to seek out knowledge. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Now, what would this be? This would be symbolic of the first resurrection spoken of in Revelation chapter 20, verse 5. That's those who overcame, who, as we studied in Daniel chapter 12, made it to that 1,335th day. They made it through that hour of temptation of the Antichrist and made it to that marriage supper, still being full of God's Spirit, still being full of the truth, and were not deceived. Therefore, they received that first resurrection. Verse 11, afterwards came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Now, what does that sound like? Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Whenever they would come to him and say, Lord, Lord, we healed in your name and we prophesied in your name. And he said, I don't know you. Meaning, y'all were talking a good game, but you never really knew me. Y'all talked about this word, but you didn't know this word. Verse 13, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Now, verse 14 gets into another parable, so we are going to stop there for the day, or for this study. We'll pick it up in verse 14 in the next study. The parable of the fig tree is crucial to understand that there are wicked figs among us. That shoot was set out in 48, and this generation is the generation when these things will come to pass. I hope you enjoy the podcast. If you are enjoying it and would like to support it, if you could just give us a like or a review, it helps to make it more accessible and where more can see it to study with us. God bless y'all and have a great day. Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Humans Under Grace Bible Study Podcast. If you have any questions that you'd like answered on the podcast, you can write to us at Humans Under Grace, P.O. Box 1467, Tatum, Texas,
7-5-6-9-1, or you can email us at questions@humansundergrace.com. Thank you, and God bless you.